Okay, good, that's me switched on, great. I'm very, very pleased to be here. I was absolutely delighted when Andrew and Elizabeth asked me to come through for this occasion. And I'm very happy to be here with you as well. I bring greetings from my own congregation of Gurth Amlwch and Craig End East in Glasgow. We remember being through here for Andrew's induction, and we remember your great hospitality to us when our bus broke down and we had to wait till it came, it got sorted, or a new one came. And so people remember being here, and what they remember is the warmth of your welcome and your staying with us until we could leave. So I bring greetings from my congregation, and they are happy I'm here. They send special greetings to Andrew and Elizabeth and Ruth and Caleb. I don't preach sermons very often these days. I was saying to Andrew and Elizabeth, we have developed a kind of conversational style in my congregation. I'm going to do this here as well. People say to me, it's okay you doing it in your home church, Val, because you don't have a large congregation. We're not a large congregation, we're a fairly small congregation, and it's a whole lot easier, and you can't do that in a bigger congregation. But I'm sure Andrew does a bit of it here, and I'm going to do it here anyway. The reading today was one that I wouldn't have chosen, but it's the reading for the day, because it seems, sometimes to me, it seems like scary stuff, you know, Jesus coming back, and we've got to be ready, and I think, am I ready? But I found a little story, or a thought that I thought would help us to think about it. I want you to cast your minds back to when you were in school. And you remember there were times occasionally when the teacher would say, right, I have to go down the corridor to the office, and I'm going to leave you just for a very short time. You've got plenty of work to do. I want you to get on with your work, and I want you to behave while I'm out of the room. I know you can do it. I want you to be good and behave. And the teacher goes out of the room. What happens next? I want you to think about that for a moment and tell me, what happens next? While I adjust this back to where it should be. What happens next? A riot. Bedlam, there's always one. Are you a teacher? No. Do we have some teachers? It's always the one. Sometimes the class gets it organised, don't they? And there are lookouts on the door so that you know when the teacher's coming back. Isn't that right? Haven't we all had that experience? Doesn't matter which school you went to, how classy it was or how humble it was. Doesn't matter whether you were in the top class and it was full of studious students, or whether it was a class of people who were needing extra help. It's always the case, isn't it? Teacher leaves the room. What can we get up to? What can we get up to when he or she is out of the room? And Johnny or Jeannie, you watch the door. Tell us when they're coming back. And there are just a few who go round and they create bedlam. There are a few who sit and get on with their work. But it's always the case. That's what we're talking about this morning, the teachers away. And how do we live our lives in this in-between time when Jesus is not here in person? Never say Jesus is away, because Jesus is always here. But not here in person, not walking in the door and sitting down in the middle of us. Teachers away, how do we behave? It's a little bit like our school days. I've been thinking this week about about how what we do in all our lives affects so many people. I've been thinking about some of the small things we do in life. And I was looking on the internet trying to find somewhere in the back of my mind, somebody might be able to help me with this, there's some kind of saying about when a butterfly flaps its wings, there's a storm on the other side of it. Does anybody know that? Do you know that one?
It's related to KFC.
It's really related.
KFC.
Chaos theory. Oh, right. So a butterfly flaps its wings in Brazil and there's a storm on the other side of the world. But it's also the case, I mean that's a kind of tragic thing, but it's also the case when we do something positive, there are effects. And effects maybe that go throughout the world, but we don't know it. I was going into a supermarket the other day, and there was a little rise up to the door. And there was a man in a wheelchair, and he was pushing hard to get himself into the door. And I thought, oh, I did what many of us would do. It's not something special. I went over, and I said to him, would you like a little push? And he said yes, and so I pushed him in. I was thinking about that this week and I thought, that was just a little thing, that can't possibly have had any effect on anybody else. But you know, I don't know what effect it had on him that somebody noticed and pushed him in the door. I don't know if there was somebody coming out the door who saw that and thought, oh yeah, that's the way to act. I don't know if somebody smiled at my action and somebody else saw it on a day when things were not going so great and they saw someone smile and they thought, well, maybe things are not as bad. I don't know what effect, if that had a ripple effect. Or I remember the day after the bombs happened in London, in the underground and on that bus. Being in the bus station in Buchanan Street in Glasgow and seeing one of the security people, a young woman with a veil on, and I thought, I wonder if she's a Muslim. She probably is. I thought I should go over and say to her, I'm really glad you're here today. Because I thought that's quite a brave thing to do. The day after, to be there in the bus station, public view, in front of everybody, doing her job in security. Because security folks were very visible that day. I thought I should go over and say to her, I'm really glad you're here. Just a little thing. But you see, I'm a kind of shy person, and I thought, oh, I don't know, maybe that would be offensive. And I walked up the stairs out of the bus station. And then I stopped and I thought, come on, Val. Walked back down the stairs and walked up to her and I said to her, excuse me, are you a Muslim? And she said, yes, I am. I said, I'm a Christian and I want you to know that I'm so glad that you are here today. She said, thank you, and I walked away. Tiny little act. What did it do for her? I don't know. Maybe she went home at night and said to her family, you know, this Christian came up to me today and said they were glad to see me. I don't know. But how do we live our lives when the teacher's away? Do we take opportunities to be the kind of people that Jesus wants us to be? I want you to take a moment and think about this last week. Were there opportunities for you to do something, and did you do it? Were there opportunities for you to do something that would affect someone else's life for the better? Think about it for a moment. And if you want to, share it with the person next to you. Would anybody like to share a story? Do you do this here, Andrew? Do you ask people to share things?
No. He does sometimes.
Oh, good. No? Okay. You don't have to. But it is good for us. Yes.
Cycling to work one morning. So as I was going down the hill, I was going to take the next turn on the left, and I could see the guy in the van waiting to come out at that junction.
Right.
And I realised that he wasn't coming out because he thought I was going to go straight ahead, so I just signalled to turn. And he realised I was signalling to come out, and he just raised his hand to say thank you, and it just made me feel so much better that someone connected and said thank you, and it just cheered me up.
It cheered you up?
Probably
helped him as well. Yeah. And he probably thought, oh good, that's somebody recognising that I'm waiting for them. And those little things make a difference. A number of years ago, the Church of Scotland had this campaign going almost, the little prayer, let peace happen and let it begin with me. It's our responsibility to start these things. Peace is not going to happen if we're not being people of peace ourselves. The Berlin Wall, when it came down brick by brick, slab by slab. And it was taken down by ordinary people like you and me, going and knocking it down. And there's a story of a little boy walking along a beach, and every time there had been a storm, starfish had been blown up onto the beach, and the little boy's walking along, and he picks up a starfish and throws it back. And there's hundreds of them on the beach, and he picks up the next one and he throws it back, and somebody walking the other way says to him, I don't know why you're doing that, there's hundreds of them, what difference is it going to make? And he picks up the starfish and throws it back, and he says, made a difference to that one. Sometimes the huge things in life need to start with a little boy throwing a starfish back making a little bit of difference. When Jesus commands us to follow him, to live our lives the way he has asked us, he's not asking us to do huge things. He's not asking us to go out and convert the world. He's not asking us to bring peace between the Arabs and the Jews. He's asking us to go out and be his people in our ordinary lives, to live our lives committed to his teachings, his principles, his love, his compassion. In the everyday lives that we have, and sometimes in just the tiny little things that will have an effect that might even stretch to the other side of the world. If things are going to change, if we're going to bring in the kingdom, that kingdom that is among us, that is here already, but if we're going to live as people of the kingdom of God, following Jesus, we do it in our daily lives. We do it as we respond to someone else's need. We do it as we smile to someone, as we give a word of encouragement, as we share with someone the love that we know, that love of God that keeps us going. So often in my own congregation, someone will say to me, "Val, how do people manage when God is not part of their lives? How do they manage when things happen?" And they'll say, "You know, I couldn't manage if I didn't know Jesus, if God wasn't part of my life. It makes such a difference to me." The difference that it makes to us is what we share with people. Sometimes that means we talk with people about what that means and who Jesus is and who Jesus could be for them. Sometimes that means we act in a certain way and we show the love of God, the compassion of Jesus, the Jesus who walked on this earth and touched people's lives in such a profound way. That touch that continues down the centuries and throughout the world. That touch of Jesus that has come to us here today. And as we come towards this celebration of baptism, as we ask Elizabeth and Andrew and the godparents to publicly take on this responsibility for bringing Caleb up and just right on cue, bringing Caleb up and knowing Jesus, we too take responsibility for that. In all sorts of different ways, every one of us here commits ourselves to teach Caleb and all the children in our care about Jesus, about God, and about how to live. And in that way, they grow up to take on the responsibilities of bringing peace into the world, sharing love with people, and the compassion of God. we respond with our next hymn, which is "The Lord's My Shepherd." Which you'll find on the sheet, and the music group will lead us in that.
Thank you.
come to God in prayer. Let us all pray. Loving God, you have called us by name, and we belong to you. In all our lives, you have been with us. Whatever happens to us, when we walked through rivers, we have not been swept away. Above us, you have been a pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of flame by night. As we travel into this new Christian year, we are thankful for your presence with us, that you have been our company and our light, that we never travel alone. And so we bring our prayers to you for our lives and for the life of the world. In the face of wars and rumors of wars, we pray for peace. We pray that you will show us ways to bring peace into our own lives and our own communities. As we look at poverty and oppression and exploitation, we pray for justice and for freedom and an end to human greed. Help us to be givers rather than takers. In a society where there is loneliness, pain and grief, we pray for true community, where people care for and comfort each other, and where we can share your presence. We pray, Lord, for those who we know ourselves, who are sick or sorrowing, who are ill at home or in hospital, who are grieving, lost or sad. And in a moment of silence, we name them before you in our hearts. Loving God, be their healer, their hope, and their comfort. And make us part of your healing, your mercy, and the life of your word, which has entered into the world. For we pray in faith and in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We sing now our baptismal song, Our Children, Lord, in faith and prayer, we now commit to you.
Our children, Lord, in faith.
Hang on a second. I'll call you out. I just want to make sure that if there are any children at the back who want to come down and see what's happening, do come down. If you need your mum or your dad to come with you, bring them too. Don't you invite the children out?
Sometimes.
I mean, if any of the children want to come and sit on the steps, so
they can always come.
Okay, everybody can see okay, come in. Baptism is about being part of the church family, part of the Christian family. We talk about the covenant of baptism, and this word covenant, it's a big word, is a word from the Bible, and it means a two-sided agreement involving promises and responsibilities from both parties. On the one side is God. In the Old Testament, God made a promise to the Jewish people. God said, "I will be your God." And God took responsibility for that promise and said, "I will always be with you." And on the other side of the agreement was the Jewish people. In the New Testament, there is a new covenant, a new two-sided agreement. And this covenant agreement was between God and all people everywhere, including us. In the New Testament, the covenant agreement, which we see in the story of Jesus Christ, in his birth, life, death, and resurrection, is the same commitment from God. God says, "I will be your God." And God takes responsibility for that commitment and says, "I will always be with you." On the other side of the covenant agreement is us. Our commitment, our responsibility is to say, "And we will be your people." The sign of this new covenant, of this new promise, this new agreement, is baptism. And as we baptize Caleb this morning, we are reminded of the complete dependence that we all have on God. Baptism is the sign of the new covenant, God's commitment applied to each one of us in our lives. It is through water and the Spirit that we enter into a new spiritual life in relationship to God. Baptism is a sign of God's commitment to us, of ongoing love and grace, offering continual forgiveness and transformation throughout the whole of our lives. And so in baptism, we see this new covenant, this new two-sided agreement, where God acts first in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In that, we see that God is very serious about this. God really means it. God promises to be our God and promises to be with us without asking anything from us. In baptism, we promise to be God's people and to be part of God's family. After the resurrection, Jesus said, "Full authority in heaven and on earth has been committed to me. Go therefore to all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you, and I will be with you always to the end of time." And ever since, the disciples of Jesus, the friends of Jesus, have continued to do as Jesus commanded. It is Jesus who is present with us in this sacrament. It is he himself who baptizes us and by the Holy Spirit brings us into his church. Baptism is the sign of dying to sin and rising to new life in Christ. By water and the Holy Spirit, God claims us as his own, washes us from sin, and sets us free from the power of death. In this sacrament, the love of God is offered to each one of us. And though we cannot understand or explain it, we are called to accept that love with the openness and trust of a child. In baptism, Caleb is assured of the love that God has for him, and the sign and seal of the Holy Spirit is placed upon him. Let us pray. We thank you, gracious God, for your gifts of water and the Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this water, that Caleb John, buried with Christ in baptism, may rise with him to newness of life, and being born anew of the Holy of water and the Holy Spirit, may remain forever in your family through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and forever. Amen. I'm going to ask Andrew and Elizabeth and Ruth, would you like to come and stand with your mum and dad while we baptise Caleb? Would you like to do that? That would be nice. And godparents and Caleb, of course. Andrew and Elizabeth, do you present Caleb to be baptised, earnestly desiring that he may be grafted into Christ as a member of his body, the church?
We do.
Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
We do.
Tradition is you give me, Caleb. Oh, you're being handed to all sorts of people. That's great. Hello. Caleb John, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon you and dwell in your heart forever. Shall we sing the Lord bless you and keep you?
Sit down. Please stand.
Lord, bless you.
just needed to be facing the right way. Let me give a lamp to you. Caleb John Philip is now baptized into Jesus Christ. We receive and welcome him as a member of the one holy, universal, and apostolic church. Your child belongs to God in Christ. From this day, he will be at home in the Christian community, and there will always be a place for him. Remind him of his baptism and what has been given to him today, so that he may know that he has been baptized. And as he grows and makes his own response, he'll make his own response in faith and in love. I'm going to ask you one more question. Do you promise, depending on the grace of God, to teach Caleb the truths and duties of the Christian faith? And by your prayers and your own example, will you bring Caleb up in the life and worship of the church? Will you help them, Ruth? Yeah, that's good. She said yes. We maybe didn't hear her, but she said yes. There are godparents, Andrew and Alison. Do you promise to love Caleb as a child of your own and support his parents by helping to oversee Caleb's upbringing in the Christian faith and church?
We do.
And the congregation, you have a question to answer as well. Will you be faithful in your calling as members of Christ Church so that Caleb and Ruth and all God's children may grow up in the knowledge and love of Christ? Will you? Thank you. Please be seated. Yes. There are gifts for Caleb from the children, I think. Maybe you can help me with that. There's lots of things. We're going to have a prayer just now for Caleb and for his mum and dad and for Ruth as they help each other as a family. I know Ruth is part of, do you call it Sunday school? You call it Sunday school. And she's growing up as your friend, and you can help her to know about Jesus and share with her your stories and what you know about Jesus. And when Caleb gets to the age where he's going to join Sunday school and run about and have fun with you, I hope you'll help him too to know what you know about Jesus and what you know about God. Because that's part of what it means to be the church and the family of God's people, that we help each other to know what it means to be loved by God and by Jesus. So let's pray together. Let's speak to God. God of love, we rejoice again to receive your grace in word and sacrament. We have heard your call and are made new by your Spirit. Guide and guard Caleb all his days. May your love hold him, your truth guide him, and your joy delight him. Bless his parents, Andrew and Elizabeth, and his sister Ruth, that he may grow up in a secure and happy home. Give to his family wisdom and courage, laughter and peace, and the love that endures all things. God of grace, in whose church there is one Lord, one faith and one baptism, help us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to show through our whole lives the one true faith, and to live in love and unity with all who are baptized in his name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Just a moment while I return to the script. I've been asked to invite you all to stay after the service because there's soup and cake in the hall. Now, that's quite a combination, soup and cake. There may be some other things as well. So please do stay and share those things together and greet Caleb and his family, who you all know, of course. So we sing our last hymn, In Christ Alone. Shall we stand?
Thank you.
Go now with Christ, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and be with you forevermore. Amen.
Just what?
Thank you.
That's what he does, that he likes. He kind of traps himself.
He also enjoys my very good animal impressions. Like. Who says that? That's Anna. Oh, no, how you doing? Peek-a-boo. Look at him. Great hands. Look at him. He needs more wipes. He needs wipes so I can touch him. Stop sleep. You've got sleep or all.
Yeah, well, that's what happened
to my mum. Hello.
Hello,
I said I'd be joining
I'm staying up looking at the
Oh, so you can just play with me in here and take it in. Always pass the
dog. Does he like cats?
Have you ever met a cat?
I don't think he has.
Come on, then. Let's go see about some lunch, will we?
Possibly the